Yeah, because I was going to say, if he needs one, I'll pilot in the Jeep. Go to my buddy's house, pilot in the Jeep, and drive it up to him. Oh, hey, Charlie, I've been meaning to ask you something. Are you interested in, it's either a power supply or a switch box or something that goes with that radio?
Actually, I'm looking for the SP430, the speaker that'll go with that radio.
I don't know if he has one of those, but all I know is he said there's some sort of like external tuner or something with a power supply or something built into it. I didn't really get what he meant, but he says he has that too.
That went with the 440. I'm not sure what he's talking about. I've looked at all the accessories that you can buy, optional accessories, and I'm not sure. I know there's a power supply you can buy with it. What would that be? The PS50 maybe? I forget now.
That sounds like what he was talking about. I think that's the model number. So I talked to him for a couple minutes on the phone. He was calling me about his computer. And he mentioned it to me, so I told him I'd mention it to you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. But no, I've got two Astron power supplies that I've had for years, and I'm very happy with them. If they ever blow on me, I'd probably get another one. They're good supplies. They're both 35 amp. One's got the meter on it, which is nice. That's probably what I'd get the next time, too, is another metered one. It's a nice feature.
I hear you. Yeah, I definitely hear you. I don't need power supplies here. I'm solar, so I don't use power supplies.
You run your station solely on solar?
Yeah, my panels charge the batteries, the battery bank. I have a secondary battery bank in the basement for my shack. When they're fully charged outside, it charges the inside ones, and then it goes over the trickle charge, and anything from that goes into the grid.
How many solar panels do you have?
I have 16 solar cells right now. They're about 5 feet long and about 3 feet tall. Or actually, I should say, well, it all depends how you have them. I have them long-wise, horizontally mounted, so they're about probably about 5 feet wide by about 3 feet tall.
And you have 15 of them?
Yeah, not including the backup one that I have.
Where are they, on your roof?
No, they're on the, what I call a tubular frame that I built for them in the backyard so that when there's really severe wind, I can literally pull a pin, drop the legs, and lay them flat on the ground.
That's pretty cool. I'd like to see a picture of that.
I could do that.
Yeah, I'm good on QRZ, my email address, in case you don't still have it. Yeah, we've got like 300 of them on the building where I work, but they're not that big. They're probably 3 feet wide, and they're only about 15 or 16 inches off the roof. We've got a big flat roof. It's got to be at least 300, maybe more. And they go into a whole bunch of transformers or whatever the hell they do with them. We actually sell excess energy back to the city. It's a nice setup. He put a lot of money into it. I think he probably got a tax write-off, or maybe the city paid a little bit for it. I'm not sure. They don't tell me their finances, but it's a nice setup. Although I did hear that with all the snow that we had this winter, there was about 10 days that they didn't get any energy out of it at all because they were all covered in snow.
KC2IJV with M1LU. Yeah, well, mine are standing, so really the top, they don't get filled with snow. What I got to do is I got to shovel out in front of them about a foot. But other than that, no, I don't lay them flat unless I have to. A lot of people on their roofs lay them flat, and that's the worst thing you can do for a panel because you get the weight from the snow, and it stresses the panel. It causes micro cracks in them.
exactly flat. They're at a slight angle, but they're low to the roof, and they're very close to one another. You can barely walk in between them. But you go up there. I've taken pictures of it before. When the spring comes, I'll do it again. But you go up there, and it's like a sea. I'll have to find out exactly how many. I'm pretty sure it's 300, but it might be more. It's certainly not less. It's like a sea of solar panels. And, you know, we're in a good location. The building's high. So when it's sunny out, they get plenty of energy.
Yeah, I have mine, mine get the sun from the moment it comes up to the moment it goes over the top of the houses to go down. So my backyard, it literally is the perfect place for me to have them. And those panels do some heavy amperage. They'll kill you if you're not careful. But like I said, I have mine so that they have battery storage also. Because when we had the hurricane here, I was still able to be on the air. When other people had the new systems that are tied directly into the grid, I have one inverter tied into the grid. It's on the dump load side. So even if the grid goes out, only that inverter goes out, not my whole system.
Yeah, I don't want to hog it, but that must have been quite an investment financially. Those solar panels are not cheap, unless you got help from the state or something. And then pass it over to Steve.
Nope, I purchased them outright for a really good price. They were overstock. They're Siemens solar panels from Siemens. Over to you, Steve.
Okay, don't have much to add. Anybody know the weather for tomorrow? Is it supposed to finally warm up, or we got more cold?
Supposed to be warm tomorrow. Supposed to be warmer today than it's been, and then I think in the upper 40s, low 50s tomorrow. Should be a nice day tomorrow.
Hey guys, I got to jump out of here. I'll talk to you all tomorrow night. I'm getting ready to fall asleep again.
All right, very good, Vic. Good hearing you. Yeah, if you get a chance, snap a picture of those panels. I'd like to see that set up and then send it off to me. N1LU.
Yeah, no problem, Charlie. Charlie, have a good one. Rocky, have a good one. Steve, have a good one. I'll catch you all a little bit later. KC2IJV.
73, Vic.
What, are you thinking of going to portable tomorrow, Steve?
I'm thinking of finally installing the 7800 in the car.
Okay, that's a good idea. You should go to Home Depot tomorrow, get a couple of pieces of PVC, get that feed point of that antenna up higher. Believe me, it'll make all the difference in the world.
Oh, I have PVC. That's my my mobile mast. I have that whatever the heck it is, Schedule 40 or whatever they call it. It's really thick, gray, interlocking plastic pipes, and I have some couplers, and a couple of them I modified. I cut some in half and stuff. And I use it with that fiberglass yellow pipe that you gave me for the rigid dipole, and I stick that up on top, and then I run the dipole that way when I go portable.
Oh, okay. Well, what's the feed point made up of on that dipole you got in the backyard?
Well, it's made out of PVC with the connector on the bottom and the two, what do you call them, eye bolts into the sides and one on top to help support it. It started life as a 6 meter. It went to a 10 meter. It became 15 meters. It was 17 meters. And now it was 160. And now it's down to a 80 meter antenna, which I've been using for 40.
Yeah, if you can double that height, which you should be able to, that'll make all the difference in the world. Don't mind me, I'm looking for my turn over here. I haven't been to Rockies in a while. I want to take Orient Way, and I don't want to miss it.
Steve in New Jersey here. 48 today, 57 tomorrow.
Thank you, Rock. It was 26 when I got to my car, and it felt it. This morning was brutal. My face bones were killing me. My bones were freezing in my face, taking the kids to school. And the wind was so strong, it was like 45 miles an hour over here. My son's only 50 pounds, you know, so he's like 50 pounds and 5 years old. And he couldn't walk in the wind. He couldn't make any progress, so he had to walk behind me. I had to block it for him. He was yelling and screaming, "Dad, I can't walk, I can't walk." So it was very funny, but it was brutally cold with that wind blowing.
I got to Debbie's house yesterday morning, Steve, and Charlie knows where she lives. She lives across the street from a cemetery. And the way the wind was coming, I was on the side of her house trying to unlock the lock on the gate to get in. And I thought it was going to blow me over at 220 pounds, 225 pounds.
Yep. It was pretty severe, but I've always been able to walk in heavy wind. I don't worry about it. I might get 300 pounds here. My son was so, kind of funny. He had to walk behind me. I had to block the wind for him. So I saw all the parents, all the kids were running for the doors, running across the campus trying to get in the building. It was, you knew it was bad. So, I'm really looking forward to a good day tomorrow. So I want to do a couple of things. So maybe I will put up that mast in the backyard and put the dipole up on it and see where I could tie it off. That might be a little project for the sunshine. KB2 TIA. I don't know if you guys noticed they changed QRZ, the engine that they use to make your page with. So they added some different features and changed a few things. So I've been playing with it. KB2 TIA.
Where are you right now, Charlie?
That was a cop back there. I'm passing Frank's GMC.
When you make that left-hand turn at the light and come around the bend, do yourself a favor, Charlie. Keep your speed limit at 30, because that road goes from 30 to 35 and back to 30. And it's not going to take you that much longer to get here. Don't go much more than 30.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I found the cop's hiding spot just before Frank's. I don't know what he was parked in, but I saw some lights on, and when I went past him, I looked in my rearview mirror, and it was a cop. So I'll be seeing him again on my way back.
Yeah, just before you get to Debbie's house in that bowling alley, they hide along there on the side of it, side of that place where Gordon brings his kid for that skating. Just watch.
Tell you, it's uncomfortable to go 30. I have to force myself to do it. Right now I'm going about 34, maybe 35 miles an hour, and even that's hard to do.
Well, you got an out-of-state plate. They'll nail you to the cross.
Yeah, I know. Just that it's so damn early, there's nobody on the road. I could see if it was drive time, 30 would be easy to do. This time of the morning, you want to go 40. Easily.
Yeah, I know. But better to be safe than sorry.
Well, on the last visit, Rock, when I came back from Dunkin' Donuts, the cop pulled out the side street and followed behind me for about 3-4 blocks. And I said, oh, they probably like read my plate, you know. So I just kept going, and he pulled off. But I was like, wow, you know, the cops by you really are really on the ball, you know, checking people out.
Well, Chris pulled over into 7-Eleven, and a cop pulled in right behind him and started asking him some questions when he left here.
I remember him saying that. If you're on the computer, Rock, punch me up on QRZ and see if this thing looks okay. It looks all right to me, but I made some changes. I want to make sure that it's not all screwy.
Okay, let me get in there. I might have to find my card with my code on it or whatever you call it, because I can't remember it all the time.
Well, even without logging in, you should be able to see my page.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
I had the logbook was up there. You could see my last 15 contacts if for some reason it stopped working. And then a lot of the stuff on my page shifted to the left. It was on the left side instead of being centered. And some of my images stopped working with the change. So I just redid everything and put it together pretty much the same way.
This QSL card that's up there, I've never seen it before. The one that went, like the picture of your shack, is that new?
Yep, I created it. I came up with the idea, I guess now it's the day before yesterday. I know how Charlie loves to get these things correct. I started it on Wednesday before I went to work, and then Thursday I finished it. I had the idea to do it, make it look like a drawing. It's something Charlie's been put in my head a long time ago when I was sketching things and doodling, and so I found a way to do it with the computer. So I whipped that out today.
Looks good, and that mop of hair that I had on top of my head is now gone.
I'm going to have to Photoshop it.
I got it chopped off yesterday.
I can cut it off your head, and I'll stick it on top of Charlie's.
I'm almost there, Rock.
Okay, you can pull in the driveway right next to my truck. It got that spot open.
Right. Catch you in a little while. N1LU, clear. Steve, if you get that antenna feed point up, over the weekend, text me, and I'll see if I can try to get on the air with you.
Okay, Charlie. Also, got to remember that you're north of me. I would imagine you're north of me, and the antenna is east-west, I think. Yeah. It's hard to remember here. So, for the most part, I think it's east-west. But I'll see what happens. I'm going to try to get it up. And see what happens with it tomorrow. And that's that. So I'll say 73 to you guys. You guys have a good visit. And safe driving there, Charlie, to work. And I'll be clearing KB2 TIA.
Steve, when you have an antenna that low to the ground and you're going to lift the feed point up, for all practical purposes, it's close to an inverted V. It's going to be very omnidirectional. Unless you get that thing up high, you can't really call it, broadside yet. It's too close to the ground, so it's really omnidirectional. Talk to you later, N1LU.
Okay, very good. KB2 TIA QRT.
73, Steve.
All right, I'm here. N1LU, clear.
Took it upon themselves if they didn't have the filter for a 214 They gave him one for a 13, and the filter is different.
Kelly, who put it in?
He did. He saw the difference, but he thought maybe it just was a different brand. And he came over to me and said, Rock, I changed the oil on my grandfather's new van and the oil light's on. And I looked at the old filter, and then I looked at Napa's, the picture, and I said, take the filter out, put the old one back in for now, and see if the light goes off, and it did.
How different was it? What was it, leaking, or it just wasn't making a airtight seal?
It's what they call a cartridge filter, Charlie. You take a housing cover off, you pull a cartridge out, and you put a new one in. On the bottom of the filter, there was this tip there with an O-ring, and that fits into a hole. The replacement filter he got from the auto store did not have that, and did something with the oil pressure.
All right, I just wanted to get past that cop. I didn't want to bring any more undue attention to myself by transmitting in front of him with Connecticut plates. But anyway, I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. I was watching the cops. What was the problem with the wrong year again?
They changed the filter design from 2013 to 2014. Same motor. The original filter has a tit on the bottom of it. It's a cartridge. It's not a spin-on filter. It has a tit on the bottom of it with an O-ring, and that's got to fit into a hole in the bottom of the housing. The filter he got didn't have that, and it caused the oil pressure problem. That's why I said, put the old one back in, because it wasn't dirty. Car's brand new. And put it back in, started it, and the oil light stayed off.
So what's he going to do, get the right filter from Napa, change it again?
Yeah, that's what he's going to do, but he put the old one back in for now so his grandfather could use it. Napa didn't have the filter in stock yet, because it was a 2014.
I would certainly bring the one they gave him and say, listen, this thing doesn't work in my car. I need the right year. You know, there's no sense in paying for a filter that's no good. That's pretty funny, though. They just plug in. They don't screw anymore. Is that all the cars or just that particular vintage?
N1OU, KD2VOR. A lot of them. Toyota, GM on some of their motors, they're going to a cartridge filter like they had back in the 50s and 60s. Like your car would take a spin-on filter. But they're going back, I know, they're trying to conserve and be green and stuff like that. But most of all your new Toyotas have a cartridge filter in them.
Yeah, that would probably be nice because there's no worrying about not having it tight enough or having it too tight. That was always a concern when I used to change my own oil, whether I had the oil filter on tight enough or too tight.
Yeah, I've got some pretty big hands. If I cannot take a filter off of a motor with my hand, that means somebody tightened it too tight. You get these quick lube places. Looks like you're putting them back on with the filter wrench. You lube the seal, you screw the filter on 3/4 to one turn, and you're good to go.
Yeah, luckily I don't have to do that anymore. But I did that religiously. I told you I had those drive-up ramps when I had my AMC Pacer. And those were always a pain. And one day I drove right over them. I was trying to stay on the top, and I just gunned it too much, drove right over the ramps, and the car bottoms, you know, hit the ground with the front tires, and I said, oh, crap, I'll never get those things out. Just enough clearance to slide them straight out.
I remember being on the wrong pavement, and you're trying to get up the ramps, and they would start sliding forward as you were trying to climb them.
Yeah, I thought that was a great investment that I did. Turned out to be more trouble than it was worth.
J Yeah, I would have loved to make that luncheon, Charlie, but it's impossible for me during the week like that. I would have to be off during the summer and have a week off and not doing much, and then I would be able to make it.
Yeah, I've already got a guy covering me that day. I'll leave at 11:30. That place is right around the corner from where my brother-in-law lives. I got to see if there's a shorter way to get there than the only way that I can remember from where I work. I've got to figure out how to do that. There's got to be another way to get there. I'll find out, I'm sure.
There's always a shorter way. We had a fire over here in Kearney yesterday. It looked like right where one of my customer's apartment house she lives in the superintendent. She's a super, her and her husband. I was taking Debbie's father for the pickets, and the smoke that was coming from this building was unbelievable.
Yeah, fire's a nasty thing. That always worries me.
All right, Charlie, good seeing you this morning. I'm at my destination, so have a good day, and maybe we will catch you on your way home. N1OU, KD2VOR.
Okay, very good, Rock. Yeah, maybe by the time I get my... by the way, that FTHF6 got some nice heft to it. You know, you can tell it's a well-built radio. But maybe by the time I get mine and get those 220 repeaters programmed in, you'll have that antenna up and I'll be able to hear how that TYT sounds. Catch you later. KD2BOR, N1LU Mobile.
7-3, Rock. Hello, Charlie.
Morning, Don.
I'm just checking out the Hanley antenna. It's a DC-124 hotel, 144 to 148, 220 megahertz to 225 megahertz, and 440 megahertz to 450 megahertz. I just put it on the Comet antenna analyzer, and on all three bands, I get down to 1.2 to 1.
Okay, cool. That analyzer takes an NMO mount?
Yes, it does. And I have one. I have one. It's a little bit shabby looking, but it'll do the job.
What is it, a mag mount?
Affirmative.
Oh, okay, because I was looking... DX Engineering sells something for about $14, and it'll convert any SO239 to a NMO connector, or an NMO mount, and I was going to buy that and put it on my mag mount.
Okay, I don't think you have a 220 antenna, though, is that correct?
No, I don't.
Well, you got one now for your trip.
I appreciate it. Yeah, that's definitely going to come in handy. For in the car, just to give me a little bit better output. Since I'm only doing 5 watts, I'll use the rubber duck when I'm at the condo or walking around. And I'll use the mag mount when I go in the car. Rocky gave me the battery eliminator, so that'll help conserve battery power.
Okay, very good. And I guess you have an SMA to SO239. I have a couple of them, too, if you need them.
No, that was the next thing I had to buy. I've got an SMA to SO239, but for the Baofeng, which is reversed from what the Kenwood is, you know, the connector on the end. I think the Kenwood is the female. I'm sorry. Needs a male, and the Baofeng needs a female. On top of the Baofeng radio, it's a male. Well, what kind of adapter do you have? Is it on a wire? You know, is it a short jumper, or is it a solid connector?
on the NMO mount, I must have about 10 feet or more of coax on it, and I soldered on a PL-259.
I mean, for the radio, the SMA to SO-239, is that a little jumper, like a 6-inch jumper, with the connectors at both ends, or is it a solid connector?
Oh, I believe the adapter is solid.
Oh, okay, I didn't know they made one. And it'll fit on the Kenwood? Because the Chinese radios are backwards. It'll fit on your Kenwood?
Yes, it will. And I also have the other kind you need. I have a female and a male adapter for the HTs.
Oh, okay. I need the male for the Kenwood. I've got the female for the Baofeng. I was kind of hoping it was the same, but I looked at it yesterday, and it's a female adapter. Okay, Cole. Yeah, bring that along. That'll come in handy as well.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to, any days I can take off now, I look forward to. I'm down to, I believe it's 54 days, something like that. And I'll bring this, the Comet Antenna Analyzer also, so we'll get you dead nuts right on the frequency.
Yeah, okay, hopefully I'll have the PHF-6 by then, get it programmed, at least get a couple of frequencies in it. Then I'll have until August to get the California repeaters in there. I'll put a couple in to get started with.
WA2ZOZ. Are you going to program it with the computer?
I would, but it doesn't come with software, and I'm not going to buy the software. I'm sure I can figure out how to program it by hand.
Right. The manual, it's a fairly large manual as far as paper size and pages. It's in Spanish and English, and it's pretty straightforward. It was pretty easy to understand.
WA2ZOZN1LU, stationary mobile. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be, the Japanese, programming the Japanese radios are almost identical from radio to radio. A couple of little nuances you gotta know for the different companies, but not like programming a Chinese radio. Those things can be a real pain in the butt.
Yes, exactly. Like my TYT handheld. That's a nightmare, that one. All right, Charlie, I'm going to just work with my antennas here for a little bit. And I guess let you get inside. You're plenty early. I think you start at 4 now. I have 3:23 a.m., and this is radio. I keep it 5 minutes fast. N1LU, stationary mobile, WA2ZOZ.
WA2ZOZ, N1LU. Okay, Don, take care, and thanks again. I appreciate the loaner. That'll come in handy. It'll save me a little bit of money. I still have to go out and buy the rubber duck for that. I'm going to probably do that this weekend. Probably get it from HRO. They're pretty quick at shipping it. They're not the cheapest. Actually, no, that's not true. I'm going to get it from R&L Electronics. They were $38 for that antenna. Everybody else is in the mid to upper 40s. So I'm going to get it from R&L. Hopefully they're pretty quick at shipping as well. But I've got plenty of time to get it. There's actually a ham fest up in Connecticut this weekend, but I don't think I'll be able to make it. I probably could have picked it up there from one of the vendors.
Do you have a friend that's going to go?
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. I've got to find out if Bill, KB1IFY, if he's going. Maybe I'll ask him to pick it up. I do have other friends that are going, but they're, you know, hours away from me, or at least an hour drive away from me. So even if they got it, I'd have to run up there and get it from them. But Bill lives in the same town as me. I'll just send him a text, see if he's going. All right, Don. Take care. I'm sure I'll talk to you before next Thursday. WA2ZOZ N1LU.
WA2ZOZ. How about the Wino? Does he live in Stamford?
Yeah, he does. But you know what? Tell you the truth, I haven't heard that guy on in quite some time.
Well, I heard him on a couple of weeks ago on the Weka machine. Here goes my crap disease again. With WB2JBG.
JBG, who's that? That sounds familiar.
Uncle Louie, who has the summer home up in Mountaindale, and I think his other house is in the Queens.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know Uncle Louie. Thought that call sounded familiar. The Weka machine, what time of the day was that?
He's usually on between 12:30 and 2 a.m. And he's usually on with, N1KOH and a couple of other regulars.
Oh, okay. I thought they were on the 130. So they all go to the Weka machine. I'll have to try to see if I can hear them some morning if I get up early.
Okay, very good. I'm sure I'll talk to you before next Thursday, but I'll bring all the stuff up and you can check out the this comet meter. I love it. And I have SWR on one side of the meter and antenna resistance and ohms on the other side. And this, I'm very surprised with this Anley here. I get right around 50 on the nodes. 50 to like 52 to 54 ohms. And it's really pretty accurate. All right, Charlie, have a good one. And 1LU, stationary mobile, WA2ZOZ clear.
Okay, very good, Don. Talk to you later. Thanks again. WA2ZOZ N1LU. We'll be clear as well.
Thank you.
very noisy into the repeater. Okay, I heard something about rubber duck and something about crossband. All right, talk to you later, Charlie. KD2, VOR.
Good morning, this is W2BOV with the CBS Retirees Deck. We meet Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at this hour on this frequency, and we're looking for check-ins at this time. Come now, please.
WA2ZNT, good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Joe. WA2ZNT, good morning to you. Anyone else?
WA2LYP, good morning, Bob.
Okay, Willie P, WA2LYP, good morning, Bill. And any other check-ins, please.
Good morning, Bob.
I was a double there, George, and pretty much covered you, but I did hear you check in, so. And who's the other station?
WB2OXU.
Good morning, Bill. WB2OXU. Anyone else? Are there any other check-ins for the net at this time? Please come now.
AC2T.
We got you, Paul. AC2T. Any others?
N2AIR.
Hey, hello, Greg. Good to have you back. N2AIR. Any other check-ins? Okay, well, nothing else heard, and here's who we have. We have Josephine, WA2ZNT, followed by Bill, WI2LYP, Willie P, commonly known, K2BIE, George, and then Bill, WB2OXU, and then Paul, AC2T, and Greg, N2AIR. And this is W2BOB with the CBS Retirees Net. One more pause. Any other check-ins, please come now. Okay, nothing there, but we'll give another shout when we get through our list here. Rather chilly morning again. Boy, yesterday it was really frigid with 20 degrees and winds gusting up to 37 miles per hour out of the northwest, and our oil burner had a real workout yesterday trying to keep the place warm, but it was comfortable, so can't complain about that. And apparently they're predicting that we'll be back up in the 50s again, I guess, tomorrow. So we have 32 this morning here, so and the barometer's rising, which is good, and hopefully the grass will be riz and ready to be mowed. Oh, boy. Well, a week from today is the official start of spring, so things ought to perk up, we hope. But again, you know, Mother Nature doesn't run by our calendar, so what the heck. Okay, not too much to report. I was just wondering how my audio is. What I had to do was lower the mic gain on this rig, and which I did. I lowered it down to a little more than half of what it was. It was wide open, so that's probably why there was clipping and stuff. So let me ask Paul, being that he was the first one, I think, to point it out. How's the audio this morning? AC2T, W2BOB.
W2BOB, AC2T. Your audio is fine now, but yeah, the other day it was a little bit too loud, and you were at the verge of clipping. But right now, it's good. I guess you went to the menu and found the way to lower that. And you can also cut the compression off also on that rig. It's a beautiful rig, I'll tell you. I've used that as my second rig, too. So I know what you were going through. Back to you, Bob.
Okay, yeah, thank you, Paul, and everyone else for your comments about the problem last time we met. Well, I was not able to adjust the compression. I mean, I went through the whole motion and everything else, but on FM, apparently there is no compression, from what I learned, but of course on sideband there is, if you're running 2 meter sideband, and I know where that control is and everything else, but yeah, it was a menu item, and it took me a while to, even with the directions in front of me in the book, it took me a while to figure out how to get there, pressing buttons once or twice and holding buttons once or whatever. But I was able to accommodate that task. So this rig seems to be working fine. So that's what counts, really. Okay. The other point I was going to bring up, being that Willie P is with us, concerning the building collapse after the gas explosion in Harlem. Boy, 250 firefighters on the scene with all the tower ladders, and they had hoses coming off the adjoining apartment buildings
And of course, it turned out that it was really a tragic event. And I guess anything of that nature in New York City is always a big deal. So anyway, let's go to Josephine to get things underway. WA2ZNT, W2BOB with the CBS net.
W2BOB and the CBS net, WA2ZNT. Good morning, Bob. Good morning, everybody. And it's nice to have a large group check in. Very good. And I'm glad the snow part is off over for a while, although the rest of it still has to melt away. And I hope it does. It should go up to 50-ish today and tomorrow also. But then Sunday, is it turning cooler into the 30s? I wish it would just stay above 40 so that all the snow could disappear. But it will have to eventually, I'm sure. And you're right, Bob, spring officially on the calendar at least will be March 21st. Okie doke. There is a formula there about Easter, how Easter comes every year. It seems to be after the vernal equinox, those of the economics, after the first day of spring of March 21st, then the first Sunday after that, something like that, a Sunday after the 21st of March, I should get it right. I used to always say it. Then it'll be Easter, because Easter will fall on April 20th this year. Well, anyhow, it has a range of a few days, but it's always after the 21st of March, and it brings into account the first Sunday after the first full moon, or something like that. Anyway, you can all look it up if you are that interested. So, yeah, it seemed cool here during the night, but not too bad. Yesterday was very chilly. I went visiting with my son, and very cold and blustery, windy. But it only blustered every so often and wasn't constant, but chilly. But not so bad for March, right? Back to you, Bob, W2BOB, WA2ZNT.
Hey, Joe, very good. And, well, I just looked at my calendar here, and I noticed March 20th is the vernal equinox, not the 21st. That's this year, so there you go. And fine business on when Easter arrives. Yeah, I used to know that formula as well, but I forget what it was. So thank you for bringing that up. Alrighty, moving right along, let's go to WI2LYP, and Bill, your comments. I know we already discussed that explosion over in New Jersey not long ago, and you know, the thing that bothers me about it is we experienced a gas line incursion and the thunderous roar with the pipe after it was damaged, and the response of our fire department and police department, but this the hail of glass was really devastating, with all the people that were injured, 60 altogether as of yesterday, and I think 7 people were fatalities, and boy, I didn't envy those firefighters in the city, even though they, you know, they're trained to do all this stuff, but that smoke was so thick, and of course the cold weather didn't help either. So WI2LYP, our expert on firematics, W2BOB. Go ahead, Bill.
W2BOB in the group, WI2LYP. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, that was pretty tragic, and they're up to 8 fatalities now in New York and still have some missing. The thing with natural gas is it becomes extremely dangerous when it's contained. Natural gas is lighter than air, so it floats up to the ceiling or out the windows if you ventilate the building. It's when it becomes contained and in a closed building, like in the winter with everything closed up, that it becomes really an explosive event. And just so you know, propane is the opposite. Propane is heavier than air. So if you have a propane leak from your gas grill or something, there is a chance that that'll creep into a basement window below level. So that's the difference on natural gas and propane. Yeah, in New Jersey, it was that explosion, and they said leveled a couple of houses and so forth, and they said there are 50 houses that are still uninhabitable at this point that the building department won't let people into until they have repairs made. So pretty tragic stuff, and if you notice, they were going through the stuff bucket by bucket. It's very similar to what they did with the World Trade Center, because until they determine what caused it, they have to take those precautions and make sure they don't damage any evidence or whatever. This morning here was 16 degrees when I first got up. It's warming up a little bit, but yesterday was crazy. The wind moved my deck furniture all around, and it was pretty nutty. And Wednesday evening, I had a surprise. I went down, and I said to my wife, I'm going to go play radio a little while. Went on 17 meters, and was just tuning around, and I heard a big pileup, and I said, I wonder what this is. When I ID'd the station on QRZ, it was an Australian station on the island of Tasmania. So I said, well, let me give it a try. And I was up against a lot of these guys with their 1 kilowatt stations and all that stuff with my little 100 watts in vertical. And it was near the end. The guy says, well, I'm going to have to shut it down pretty soon and this and that. And just by chance, he pulled out my call sign, and I couldn't believe it. And we had a nice QSO for about 5 minutes back and forth. He was marveling at the fact that I was doing only 100 watts. He was pushing 400 watts with a beam going long direction, and he was getting a kick out of the fact that I only had the 100 watts. So it just shows you that even with minimal wattage, if the bands are right and you get lucky, you can make that connection. It's the longest connection I've ever made, and it was just such a kick to talk to this guy. He sounded like Crocodile Dundee, and it wasn't a wham bam thank you ma'am. He was handling a lot of stations, but he was doing it very very gracefully. With that, I'll throw it back to you, Bob. W2BOB and the net, WI2LYP.
N2NBR.
Hey, we got you, John. N2NBR recognized. And WI2LYP, W2BOB with the CBS Retirees Net. Well, that's terrific. And you've been very fortunate, Bill.